You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
So in Matthew, God gave man the authority, the same authority that Jesus gave the church. God gave man dominion. Who'd he give it to? Who'd he give it to? Who'd he give it to? Who did he give it to? Who did he give it to? Now, I only want the people to say it that have it. Who did he give it to? No, I don't want to hear a female voice. I don't want to hear no estrogen in my answer. Or we're going to have a problem. I only want testosterone. Who did he give the authority to? Who did he give the authority to? Who did he give the authority to? But the job was too much for us. So don't you ever tell me God won't give you more than you can bear. Yes, he will. Everything God gives you, you can't bear. That's why he give you helpers. He give you somebody to help. He said, now I want man to do certain things. I want him to reproduce. I want him to run my creation. I want him to take leadership, but he can't do it by itself. Now he can make the train and he can build the cars and he can build the roads that carry the cars and he can build the rails that carry the train and he can make the plane that goes from New York to California, but he would be nothing. He gives the man the woman. Why? Why woman? She came out of his womb. Not woe, but womb. Then he turned around and did something highly, highly significant. He turns around and makes them one. They were already one. That was the only time a man had a woman in him. And God took it out. So if you're going around struggling, I got a woman in me, get saved. God will take it right out. Then he turns around and puts her right back there. She's not to assault him. She's not to fight with him. She's not to cut him. She's not to burn his clothes. She's not to set his car on fire. She's not to boil his rabbit. She's not to electrify his house. She's not to come into the house, lay in the bathroom with the gun and shoot him when he comes in. No, she is to build him up where he's torn down and strengthen him where he's weak so that the task of God will be realized as she connects with him. When he feels like a failure, she's to wrap her arms around him and squeeze him and say, baby, it's gonna be all right. Hallelujah. Not Satan, the Lord rebukes you. She can't be too sanctified that she can't make biscuits. She got to learn how to bake biscuits just like laying hands on the sick. There's anointing oil and there's cooking oil, and you got to be proficient with both. You got to make him feel like he's a winner, even though society says he's a loser. Why? You came out his side. You got to look good when he comes home. Your hands got to be soft, not like a construction worker. You can't look like the flag lady all day. Do it from 7 to 3:30. But at night, you look like Beyonce. Closet can't be filled with wrestling clothes. You got to have some Teddies and Freddies and Bettys and everything else to let him know that you're there for it. You got to smell good. You got to look good. You must speak well. You must lift him so he's not seducible by somebody else. You got to tell him he looks good even if you don't like what he's wearing. Bible already said we're all liars. He ain't going to kill you for building up your man. When the devil saw that relationship, the man and the woman, he came down, and who did he attack? The woman. Why? She was the catalyst. She was the helper. She was the seducible one. The Bible says Adam was not deceived. Most men are not deceived. But the woman was deceived. God gave the man the authority over creation. And the woman was given to help him. What did Satan come after? Your helper. Even in a church, the enemy doesn't attack the pastor. He comes after those around the pastor. He attacks the helpers. He knows that if I can bring the helpers down, then it'll be too much for the pastor. If I can smite him by pulling you out, I'll scatter the rest of the sheep. We're in warfare. We played Pentecostal religious games, and now the games are over. The Phillies just paid $330 million for a ball player. You best know they don't want to hear, "I got a headache and I can't play today." He'll get a whole tractor trailer load full of Advil. For $330 million, he better go out there and produce. He better not take too many balls and stand there and let them pass him. He better swing away. And when the bases are loaded in the bottom of the ninth and two men are out and they call him, he had best not strike out. Not for $330 million. What are you saying, preacher? The price determines your worth. Lord, help me. You were paid for by the blood of Jesus. God doesn't want to hear you can't make it. God doesn't want to hear I'm tired. God doesn't want to hear I can't praise you because I got a headache. No, you praise me through the headache. You praise me when you want to give up. You stop your whining and step up and hit a grand slam because the price that was paid for you was beyond measure. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You ain't fighting people. Lord, help me. You ain't fighting people. Paul tells you in Ephesians 6 who you're fighting. Devil's got you zeroing in on people. That brother sitting there with that blue jacket on, he down there every week. Why he down there every week? What do you care? Why is he in your view? Do you like him? Has he something you desire? Most of our complaints about people are really jealousy. Somebody either has something that we want or they have a location or a position that we desire. Why can't I be one of the staff pastors? Because I didn't choose you. Do you actually think that God sits me down and tells me who to choose to work close to me? Do you really believe that? That's a Pentecostal reality. The only person God tells me to choose is the one I don't want. Because he knows I would not choose them of my own volition. He says, but that person's going to help you grow. None of us choose people that help us grow. I was in the store last week, and they had sugar babies. I heard about them, all right? I'm only 32. I heard about sugar babies in that box, and they had goobers. Goobers are delicious peanuts covered in chocolate. Raisinets are raisins covered in chocolate, too. Chocolate is a gift of God. That's what was on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Adam blew it. Could have had all the chocolate he wanted. And I went into this store and I saw those sugar babies and I bought them. Yes, I did. I don't have to go back to the doctor till next year. And I bought some goobers and some dots. And they had buttons. They had buttons. You know the white paper with the candy stuck to it? Oh, Button. They had them in the store. Now watch this. I bought the goobers home, and I took the goobers in my office. And while I was waiting on a meeting, I ate some goobers. I figured based on who was coming to see me, I needed the peanuts. So I was eating the goobers. And then I opened up the box with the sugar babies. And that's just pure sugar. That's just caramel. You when it melts in your mouth, once it gets past that hard shell, it's just soft sugar. That's just diabetes in a plastic bag. And I put them in my mouth, and I was riding on the highway. And I said, these don't taste the same. Now, I loved my goobers. I only ate a little bit of them and left the rest in my desk drawer. And my desk drawer is locked. That's for the staff. But I took my sugar babies, and I was driving down, and I opened it up, and I took a mouthful. They tasted exactly the same as they did when I was a child on Susquehanna Avenue. But I had changed. I couldn't eat them. Folded them up and tossed them. You see, you get to a place in your life where you can't eat the same things anymore. Where the devil can't bring you the same foolishness anymore. If you're still impacted by something that bothered you 20 years ago, then you haven't grown. I could not eat my sugar babies. I haven't even opened the dots yet. I pray that they have grown with me. I got hooked on dots from my mama. She used to eat dots all the time, and she'd throw me one. Throw me an orange one or a green one. And I got hooked from the one. That's how you get a person hooked. You give them one at a time. And I haven't tried them yet, but I would suspect that my taste buds have changed. You see, warfare, in order for it to be successful, you have to be what you were rather than be who you are. You see, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Watch now. He doesn't say God pulls down your strongholds. He says you are mighty through God, and you pull down your strongholds. The devil cannot keep you bound unless you want to stay bound. He cannot keep you in bondage unless you want to stay in bondage. Stuff can affect you. Oh, every time I see. So, no. Not unless you want it to. I'm at the place where I don't care who I see or who I don't see. I'm walking with the King of Kings. Let me go on here. I feel, as we used to say in the Pentecost church, I feel my helper come. He says that we are to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Therefore, what the scripture is trying to suggest to us is that the warfare is against your mind. The mind is the most fertile part of your existence, not your spirit. Your spirit belongs to God according to Ezekiel and according to Solomon. It goes back to God when you die. It doesn't have to be saved. And so that only leaves two other parts of your dynamic. One would be the soul, which needs to be saved, and the other would be the mind. And all of these components are housed in the flesh. And the appetite of the flesh can be suppressed by the mind. And it can be allowed by the mind. So therefore, the warfare is against your thought process. When someone says, so-and-so doesn't like me, hear me. Unless that person comes to you and tells you they don't like you, it's your mind. And the Bible said, cast down those thoughts. Whenever you judge a person, whenever you say what a person is trying to do, according to the word of God, the only reason that you do that is because you have that in you. That's what Paul teaches in the book of Romans. He said, when you say something about somebody else, it's because it's in you. So if you sit there and you say, so-and-so just trying to get close to the pastor because they want him, you want him. That's why you can see it in them, according to the word of God. I'm just making enemies all across the board. Now, there are two prevailing spirits of warfare, and I need to unearth, expose, and declaw these spirits. I don't like the term spirit because it's convoluted and we don't understand it. I've grown weary listening to people say what I got in my spirit. The spirit is not for us to communicate with. The spirit belongs to God. You can't talk to your spirit. The Bible never supports that. What we call spirit is our mind. People say, oh, I feel it down in here. Those are your intestines. That's gas. And I'm not saying something to you as a point to hurt anyone or defame anyone. I'm speaking from experience. I used to fall into that same arrogant talk. Oh, what I feel in my spirit is God saying so and so. And it's my mind. If everything else communicates to my mind, what makes me think God isn't? Now, there are times when the Bible says, the Spirit says, but it's a capital S. A few instances, the King James uses a small S, but that's a grammatical error. And so we'll go around, oh, what I'm getting in my spirit. What I'm getting in my spirit, the Lord is telling me. The Lord is telling me something about Mac Joe. That's what the Lord is telling me. The Lord's telling me. What's he telling you? I didn't get it yet. And usually it's wrong. It's usually a hyperbole. It's something we feel, something we get. Now listen, there are street senses that we say come from God. They're not from God. They're not from God. It's just living in the street, living and just being part. You know, God told me they were going to try to rob me. No, you knew it. You're at 11th and Master. The fact that you got out safe was the miracle. Getting jacked at 11th and Master, you expected it. Your antenna was up. People are not street smart. I was sharing with someone today. I went to a store yesterday, and I pulled in the parking lot of the store, and I saw what I thought was a spot to the left, and I was preparing to turn left, but then out of my peripheral, I saw another spot, so I kept going straight. This other driver came up along my right. I didn't see him. It was a blind spot. And he goes past me and he blows his horn. And I keep going because I don't pay any attention to horns. I mean, I ain't 18. I'm 32. So I pulled into the spot. And he must have rushed down to where my car was. Because as soon as he got up to my car, he said, slick move. I said, excuse me? He says, you could have caused an accident. I said, I didn't see you. I said, I really didn't. I said, I just pulled off to get into this spot. Well, you were acting like you were going to turn left, and you went straight, and then you could have caused an accident. I said, hold it, sir. Let me ask you a question. I said, do you know me? He's like, no. I said, do you understand this is 2019? I said, do you know I could kill you? You don't know me. You get out your car, you 70-some years old, and you jumping up in my face. I said, you aren't thinking correctly. Have a nice day. But the reality is he don't know me. I could have been fighting with somebody earlier and just looked for somebody to pop. That's how we are with the devil. Ignorant of his power, ignorant of his works. Come to church all lackadaisical, super spiritual, and a demonic force is sitting right next to us, and we don't even know it. We let people do anything in our churches. They come down front and do the dance of the seven veils, and we'll go, praise the Lord. Half the stuff that goes on because we don't know the Spirit of God. We think everything is allowable. Listen to me very carefully. If you don't think dancing is powerful, go back to the book of Matthew. Herod was drunk, and Herodias came out and danced. And when she was finished dancing, he was so turned on. He said, baby, what do you want? She said, the head of John the Baptist. It wasn't a deep thing. It was a dance. And there are two major spirits that the enemy is using to come in. And I'm going to show you the distinction. One is Jezebel. Now, to understand the Jezebel spirit, as it is given in the Bible, it is mentioned two times. One in the book of 1 Kings, then again in the book of 2 Kings, but those are, you know, pretty much connected. And the next time it's mentioned in the book of Revelation. They're not the same women. One is a Phoenician princess whose father is the king of an area that's steeped in idol worship. Phoenician name Jezebel means no husband, unhusbanded, which means she submits to no man.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, Spiritual Warfare, or the program number 03419P. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be viewed weekly on the Word Network Monday evening at 7:30 p.m. The Word Network is available on Files Channel 292. You can also view featured sermons on the Bethel Deliverance International Church YouTube channel. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches invites all women to Women's Conference 2019. Daughters of the King, wear your crown, Friday, May 17th and Saturday, May 18th. Come and join us for 2 days of praise, worship, and life-empowering workshops from dynamic speakers. Joining us on Friday evening at 7 o'clock p.m. will be Evangelist Joyce L. Rogers, founder of Primary Purpose Ministries Incorporated of Carlton, Texas. On Saturday, beginning at 8:30 a.m., there will be a special panel discussion featuring the women's pastors of Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches. The mid-morning and afternoon sessions will be facilitated by guest presenter, Pastor Latera Ruffin from the Life Empowerment Church of Moreno Valley, California. All sessions will be held in the sanctuary of Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Winco, Pennsylvania. The deadline to register is Friday, May 3rd. Registration is available online at betheldeliverance.org. For more information, call 215-885-2585. That's 215-885-2585. Ladies, don't miss this uplifting time of praise, worship, and life-transforming teaching from anointed women of God, Friday, May 17th and Saturday, May 18th. Plan to join us and register today.